I want you to get your Bible out and turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3, the sermon I preached this morning, I preached many, many, many years ago. It's been requested on more than one occasion here at our church, but I've just never preached it here. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. Once you find Colossians 3, I want you to find verse number 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Stand with me, if you would, please. We'll do that out of respect for the Word of God, and it'll give you a little break here right before we get into the sermon. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse number 22. Again, may I ask that we just minimize interruptions. We're doing fantastic this morning. The attention's been great, but let's let that carry through the sermon. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 22, the Bible says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Those words there, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord." It's the basic premise and truth of this morning's sermon. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Help us, Lord. Indeed, we've had a full morning already, but God, somehow make our time together to be thorough. Give me the attention of the people. I'll give you mine. Holy Ghost of God, reach down from heaven and do something lasting and supernatural in this place. May we all be challenged to be better Christians than what we were when we came in. And for those that maybe are not saved, might they get saved today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The Bible says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Folks, we work so hard in our society today. We're quite competitive. We're just concerned about beating the other guy. I have to tell you something. Really, what God wants us to do is do everything that we do as unto the Lord. You say, what does that mean? You ought to give your all because you're to give your all because that's what God wants you to do. You give your all to something because that's how God would have it. I'm going to tell you a story that comes from my youth. When I was a younger man, I had an aunt. Her name was Annie. Annie was probably about 4 foot tall and maybe about 4 foot wide. I can't quite remember how that worked, but I know Annie almost looked like a bowling ball with legs. And Annie had a dog, and that dog was a bulldog. And her bulldog's name was Buttons, Buttons the Bulldog. And Buttons was full of energy. Buttons was an incredible bulldog. I love Buttons. I'd go over to Annie's house, and to the best of my ability, we would play with Buttons. Now, Buttons had a ball, and I could take that ball, and I would throw that ball, and old Buttons the Bulldog would run out to get that ball. But I have to tell you something. Buttons didn't handle chasing the ball like I had seen other dogs. You'd throw the ball, and old Buttons the Bulldog, Buttons would run in circles until Buttons would get to the basic location where the ball was, and then swoop down, pick that ball up, and then run back in circles. Now, me, I thought when Buttons would get back, both his eyeballs would be going different directions because he was so dizzy from getting that ball. But if you threw the ball, Buttons did not run straight out to the ball. Buttons would zoom in circles and run out there and grab that ball. I think Buttons had bulldog radar. I don't know how Buttons could do it, but boy, Buttons would swoop and pick that ball up, coming around in a circle, and then run back to me. Now, Buttons also had a shoe. It was a lot like this shoe right here, but Buttons had a shoe, and it was a tennis shoe. Now, I have to tell you something. Buttons' shoe and Buttons' ball were two totally different things. The shoe, that shoe belonged to Buttons specifically. That was Buttons' toy. The ball, that's how Buttons played with humans. The shoe, that was Buttons' shoe. Now, you could play with Buttons' ball, but you can't play with Buttons' shoe. The ball was a people toy. The shoe was Buttons' toy. So Buttons would let me play with the ball. I thought I was playing with Buttons. I think Buttons thought he was playing with me. But the shoe now, Buttons would take that shoe, and you've seen a bulldog. I mean, Buttons would be sitting over there with his front legs or arms or whatever you want to call them, them paws out, and that big old jowls hanging down, big old square face, and that shoe would be sitting right in front of him. And you'd look, and you just knew Buttons was saying, "Try it. Just try to get my shoe. You want to play with the ball, you dumb human? You go ahead and play with my ball, but don't mess with my shoe." So, of course, I wanted the shoe. You say, did Buttons have two shoes? No, Buttons only had one shoe. You say, where's the other shoe? I don't know. I think Buttons ate a human being and kept one shoe. You know, you ever shoot a deer, you get you a mount. You got something to show for it. Buttons had a shoe to show for eating a human or something. I'm not sure. But that was his trophy shoe. And once Buttons would sink his teeth into that shoe, there was no taking that shoe away from him. I would run out and I would run up toward that shoe, and when I'd go to grab it, Buttons would just grab a hold of his shoe. And when Buttons grabbed a hold of his shoe, I knew the tug of war was on, because I'd go over and I'd grab a hold of the shoe. And when I'd grab a hold of the shoe, old Buttons would dig in, you know. And now he could. You ever seen how big a bulldog's mouth is? Got those little flabby, I call them ports, you know, on the side. And Buttons could be holding on to that shoe going. And he's got the shoe in his mouth, because he's not going to let go of the shoe. But he's letting me know he's going to get tough with me. But I'd go over and I'd grab his shoe. I could pull him around. I'd grab Buttons, and I could start pulling him around. And Buttons, if it were in the grass, he'd be scooting backwards, trying to dig in, you know, trying to anchor himself. And we would scrape up grass, and then if I took him on the gravel, he'd make faces, but I could pull him across that gravel. You could take him on the cement, you'd see scratch marks where he's trying not to be pulled with that shoe. But he would not let go of his shoe. Sometimes he wanted to take a breath, you know what I mean? He wanted to take a breath. But he knew not to let go of the shoe. So those ports, it was hilarious. He'd go to take a breath, and those two, the jowls, you know, that those, again, I call them ports. You'd watch him start flipping up as he's going. He's trying to take a breath because he's got that shoe in his mouth. And he knew that if he opened his mouth, I'd yank that shoe off, and I'd take off running. So he would hang on to his shoe. I don't know what he's thinking. He was thinking, that's my shoe. Get your own shoe, human. You play with the ball, go play with the ball. But you're not going to play with my shoe, because that's my shoe. You can't have my shoe. Let go of my shoe. And I wouldn't let go of the shoe, and he would not let go of the shoe. I could just pull him around. I could, one time I took Buttons, and he had a hold of the shoe, and I thought I'd see how Buttons would hold up airbound a little bit. So he's got a hold of the shoe, I got a hold of the shoe. So, y'all remember back when children were not so fragile, and you'd take your kids and you'd toss them in the air. Now you go to jail for 50 years if you do that, but that's how my kids learned, that's how we developed their eyebrows. Threw them in the air, and they're, woo! But, boy, I was going to play helicopter with Buttons. Now, some of you people have been around a while. You know exactly what I'm talking about now. But we grabbed a hold of that shoe, and he had a hold of his, and I thought, we'll see how Buttons does. We'll play helicopter. So we started to go around in circles. And old Buttons, it wasn't long. His ears were flopping, and all four legs were flopping, and we were going around like this. And I let go. Buttons came in for a crash landing. But I'll tell you this, he did not let go of his shoe. He hit the ground and he still had a hold of that shoe. I got to tell you something. I love Button's attitude about that shoe. Button said, "That's my shoe, and you can't take it away from me." Buttons was determined. Buttons was committed. Buttons was locked in. Buttons had decided that he was going to get something done, and he got it done. That was Buttons. You know something? We need some Christians that will sink their teeth into the Christian life like Buttons sunk his teeth into that shoe, and don't let go for Jesus. Don't let go. We live in a generation of weak, need, soft, soap, and quitters. Man, it doesn't take anything to get people to quit on God and quit on church and quit their duty and quit what they're supposed to do. You know what we need? We need some bulldog in us. Amen. We can learn a lesson from that dog. I call the sermon Bulldog Christianity. Bulldog Christianity. You know what the Bible said? "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men." You know what that means? Throw yourself into it. Throw yourself into it.
Do it and do it well and do it with some energy and do it with some might and do it with some tenacity and do it with some drive and do it with some vigor. Oh, I'm so tired of a lazy generation, and they want pampered, and they want people to meet all their needs. Listen, folks, we need to grow up. And I tell you, America really needs to grow up and not to be afraid to do what's hard again. This country was founded by a group of people that did the hard thing. We're looking for the easy way for everything today. What's wrong with us? I love Buttons the Bulldog. I carry a picture of Buttons the Bulldog in the front of my Bible everywhere I go. And when things get tough, you know what I think to myself? I can at least be like the bulldog. I remember back to Annie's bulldog, Buttons, and when things get tough, I say, you know what? If it needs to be done, I'm going to grab a hold of it and I'm going to get it done. I'm going to figure it out. Because Buttons had that attitude. Wouldn't it be sad that a canine had more tenacity than a human being? Wouldn't it be sad if a dog was more committed to its shoe than you are committed to your Christianity? I call the sermon Bulldog Christianity. For instance, like a bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into overcoming your personal character flaws. Sink your teeth into overcoming your personal character flaws. You know that Romans 8:37 says, you and I as Christians, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. Now, it didn't say we're conquerors. It said that we are more than conquerors. You know, some of you have some character flaws, and they're your personal weaknesses. And it's time for some of you, like Buttons, to sink your teeth into overcoming your own personal character flaws and get the job done. We are just so full of excuses today. We're always looking for the easy way. Now, sometimes there's just not an easy way. Somebody here, you need to finish what you start. You know, that comes from the last generation, but we need to finish what we start. You start a project, you finish the project. That's how it ought to be. I think we need to learn to be on time. Some of you are going to be late for your own funeral. You're late for everything. And though you might not like it, but we don't hear preaching around here just because you like it. We hear the kind of preaching around here that we need. And this day and age, everybody's late for work and late for church and late to pay their bills. Fooey on that. You ought to be on time. That's what Christians do. Like a bulldog, you ought to take a hold of some of your weaknesses and your character flaws and look them right in the eyeball and say, you know something, I'm going to take care of this once and for all. Sink your teeth into that thing. Hey, folks, keep your word. That's a character quality that Christians ought to have, keeping their word. Live by schedule. Control your appetites. You know, folks, you can't just have everything that you want. There's just sometimes you have to say, I can't have that. I can't afford that. Now's not the time. You can't have everything you want. You can't go everywhere you want to go. You can't be everything that you want to be. And I'm just here to tell you, like a bulldog, we need to sink our teeth into our character flaws and start overcoming them. Some of you have accepted your flaws and said, I'll just live with this weakness the rest of my life. That's the wrong thing to do. If you're still alive, you need to be conquering you and your own personal weaknesses. And I'll tell you this. Some of you, you dealt with the weakness when you were a teenager. You dealt with it when you were a young adult. You dealt with it in your middle years. Now you're going into your senior years, and you still have the same weakness, and you still have the same flaw, and you're not doing anything about it, and you need to conquer you. Like a bulldog. You take hold of that thing and say, you know something? I am going to fix me. I am going to work on me. I am going to improve me. Now, if you're out there saying, well, I hope my husband's listening. Listen, Sugar Plum, you need to get this for you. You say, well, I hope my teenage children are listening right now. I hope they are too, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll set in judgment of everybody else while I preach this sermon when God's trying to talk to you. You say, Pastor, I'm just not used to someone talking like you're talking right now. Well, get ready, buddy, because it's going to get... I'm sorry, where's Buddy? Buddy, I'm trying. I'm trying. This whole sermon's not to you. Get ready, Hank. Do I have a Hank in here? Get ready, Waldo, because it gets worse as it goes along. like a bulldog, sink your teeth into your own personal character flaws and overcome them. You don't have to take those to your grave. Young people, some of your parents are trying to help you to develop some character in your life. Get up in the morning, make your bed, clean your room, hey, pay your bills. That's good for you. And don't make peace with those things. You decide to fix them. But not only that, like a bulldog, I think we need to sink our teeth into getting into the right crowd of people and staying in the right crowd of people. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Be ye separate, saith the Lord." Listen, Christians are not to be running around with people that don't love God and that have no interest in the things of the Lord. And I know it seems a little sacrificial, but I'll tell you this, Jesus left heaven for us. And look, if He can sacrifice that, you and I, we need to learn to sacrifice to be in the right crowd. I'm going to tell you all something. The thing that will take your Christianity down as quick as anything is the wrong crowd. Getting with people that don't love God, that have no interest in God. Look, sheep don't play with wolves. Sheep don't play with wolves. There's some of you need to stand up to your friends. And like a bulldog, you need to sink your teeth into this and you need to say, "I want to be a good Christian. And the Bible teaches to be a good Christian, I need to be friendly to everybody, but not best friends with everybody." Some of the reason why your Christianity is not growing is you spend all your time with people that party and do all sorts of things that you are not supposed to do. And as a result of it, you are a weaker person and a weaker Christian, and you are hurting your Christianity. And I say, like a bulldog, you sink your teeth into separating from the wrong crowd. Even if you have to walk alone. You say, "Wow, if I gave up all my friends that are up to no good, I wouldn't have any left." Well, they're probably not that's not what friendship really is anyway. But even if you have to walk alone, you need, and look, I have to tell you, we're to be friendly to everybody and we're to be kind to everybody. I'm not telling you to shoot your friend. I am telling you to learn to separate, and I'm telling you that you are to spend time with other godly people. And like a bulldog, sink your teeth into the need to separate. Some of you are so weak and insecure, you will destroy your Christianity. So if I give up my friends in the world that don't care about God, who will I have left? Well, first of all, you'll have Jesus left. You have God left. If you get yourself in the right kind of church, you'll have a church group of people that do separate for God. We had a dog. It's a wiener dog, a dachshund. And that dog, when I would walk in the house, I have to tell you, it was my wife's dog. Her name was Mitzi. When I walk in the house, Mitzi would stoop and urinate. I don't know why. I affect people that way. But I walk in and Mitzi, you know, if I'd say, "Mitzi, get up, you know, stop that." And boy, old Mitzi, she'd just right on the floor. But you know, there's some of you, you're almost like that. You're scared to death of your friends. You about wet yourself. If the thought of saying to a friend, "I'm not going to get drunk with you. I'm not going to get high with you. I'm not going to commit adultery with you. I'm not going to commit immorality with you." You know, some of you, you're going to have to suck it up and like a bulldog, grab a hold of what's right and wrong and decide, no matter what it costs you, no matter how embarrassed you are in front of your friends, that you're going to do right. It's awful quiet in here. And it's quiet because it's been a while since you heard anybody tell you the truth like this. But the truth is, you sink your teeth into getting with the right crowd of people. You sink your teeth into overcoming your character flaws. Hey, let me challenge you. We've got a lot of business owners in here. Let me challenge you. You want to build a business? Like a bulldog, you're going to have to sink your teeth into making it happen. This is still the United States of America. It is still a land of opportunity. You build that business with God. You build that business for God. You know what I'd do? I'd turn your business over to God and become His manager and say, "God, whatever you want, that's how we'll do it. And I'll guarantee you, God will figure out a way to get you all the business that you need." Problem is, most business owners, they want to own their business and let God be a shareholder. You ought to turn it over to God and say, "God, it's yours. Let me do with it what you want." And I will guarantee you, God will sink a lot of investment into you. But if you want to build a business, I still think in this day and age you can. But I'll tell you who's going to build it. It's going to be that guy that sinks his teeth into it like a bulldog and says, "I'll do this. I'll get up early. I'll stay up late. I'll work hard. And I'm going to get this job done." Listen, that's how you get anything done if you really want to succeed. We, like a bulldog, you overcome your character flaws. And like a bulldog, you get in the right crowd and stay in the right crowd. And like a bulldog, you go after building your business and you do it and you work hard at it. Hey, some of you, like a bulldog, you need to sink yourself into your ministries here at the church. I know many of you are visitors today, but we've got a big old, the bulk of this crowd are people that attend our church all the time and every week. The Bible says in Acts 19:20, it says, so mightily grew the Word of God. That doesn't mean the Word of God expanded. It meant the Word of God started being spread around and its influence was being multiplied because of the energy and the effort of God's people. You know what you need? Sunday school teachers, you say, I'd like to see my Sunday school class grow. You won't get your Sunday school class to grow if you're a chihuahua. You're going to have to get your Sunday school class growing when you become a bulldog and you say, you know what? I'm going to sink my teeth into growing my Sunday school class. Spectators don't grow things. Participators grow things. Say, you sink your teeth into that bus route and sink your teeth into that ministry and sink your teeth into that Sunday school class. Get involved. There's so many people, they sit on the sideline and watch and then wonder why the things around them are not prospering. Look, you want to sit in the kitty litter? Go ahead and sit in the kitty litter. Or you can come out and get in where the big dogs are and try to get something done with your life and for God. Amen. But I got to tell you, you've got to sink your teeth into your ministry. Often, I'll have pastors say to me, Brother Owens, how can I get my church going? How can I get my church moving? It's just I can't get anybody to come to my church, and it's dead and it's dry. And I'll tell them, you just sink your teeth into that thing, and you look the devil right in his God-given eyeball, and you say, look here, devil, I am not going to put up with you, and I am going to get victory for Jesus Christ. But so many preachers then just put their tail between their legs and they give in. You know, everybody's saying this. Everybody's saying it. Well, in this day and age, it's so bad out there. We're in the last days and the last times. And because of that, you can't have a prosperous church. That's exactly what the devil wants everybody to believe. That's it. You know what you have to do? You sink your teeth into that thing and you believe the Bible. You know, you say, we live in such wicked days, Brother Owens. How could anybody build a church in these wicked days? Did you know something? The Bible says where sin did abound, hey, that's this day and age. It says where sin did abound, did grace much more abound. Let me tell you, that means this. As the world gets worse, the need of Jesus gets greater. And if somebody by faith will believe that God still wants to do it, it can still be done. But you got to sink your teeth into that thing. You sink your teeth into your character flaw. You sink your teeth into getting in the right crowd. You sink your teeth into building that business. You sink your teeth into your ministry. And hey, you'll like this one. Some of you need to sink your teeth into clearing up some of your bad debt. Straightening out your finances. Now, I don't think all debt is bad. But boy, when you can't make your payments on time, when you don't attend to your financial obligations, it needs to be cared for. You know, there's only, I've been teaching on finances for years. Really, honestly, there's only a couple things that one can do in regard to a financial dilemma. You either have to make more money or spend less. Now, if you want, you can go get you a $199 package off the internet on how to fix your finances. Or you could take it from me today free. You need to stop spending so much money or make more. You check with anybody that understands finances. You either got to spend less or make more. That's real simple. You say, well, I wouldn't pay $199, then give me $100. I just gave you a deal on that. But folks, there's some of you, your debt is overwhelming. Your financial situation is overwhelming. You say, what do? You sink your teeth in that thing, say, I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to let go until I get it fixed. Now, can I help you? I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. You say, I really want to fix it, and I really want to straighten out my finances and stop eating at McDonald's all the time. Stay home and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich like everybody else. We say we want to fix it, but we want to do it with all the luxury in the world. The way you'll fix your financial dilemma is you sink your teeth into that thing and you say, I will pay the price, I will figure this out, and I will not give up. That's how you do it. I preached this sermon
It may have been 20 years ago I preached this sermon. There was a little boy. He was about 4 years of age. He had heard me preach that sermon.
When I preached it, I said, if I ever start a church, I'm going to name it the Bulldog Baptist Church. You know how us preachers get to spouting off.
You do.
Man, I was being loud and wild and ridiculous. I said, I'm going to build me a church. I'm going to call it the Bulldog Baptist Church.
Well, I pastored up in West Virginia for a dozen years. Had a little four-year-old boy. He grew up, and his parents brought him to visit my church. He wasn't a member of my church. He'd come from out of state. He came to my church. Parents brought him to my office or called me or told me this. They said he was crying when he got to the church. He was pulling in. His parents said, we're at Brother Owen's church. He said, this is not his church. This is not his church. His parents said, oh, yes, you're going to see. He's going to preach in a little while. And the little boy just insisted, this is not his church. This is not his church. Parents finally said, what in the world? This is Brother Owen's church. He said, the little boy said, this cannot be his church. He said his church was going to be called the Bulldog Baptist Church, and this is the Bible Baptist Church. This is not his church. You know something? That old bulldog had some tenacity. And folks, really, it's a missing quality in this day and age. Some tenacity. You know what? I wish there's a missing generation that should have grabbed a hold of the United States Constitution and held on to that thing for everything that it was worth. And what our forefathers gave us, we should have held on to that. Everything that it's worth. Why? Because those things are valuable to us. Hey, like a bulldog. There's some of you, you need to sink your teeth into conquering your sin. Conquering your sin. The Bible says in Matthew 15:57 that victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for some of you to change your life. I don't know what your besetting sin is, but earlier I talked about just character flaws. Things that are not necessarily sinful, but they're not wise. They drag your life down. They slow you down. Now I'm talking about your sin. And I'm not going to call the roll, and I could. I could take about 5 minutes and make everybody here mad at me. I'm not going to do that. But I can tell you this, there's sin in this room, there's sin in your life, and the only you will not overcome your sin by being a pacifist towards your sin. You will not overcome your sin by being all soft and mushy about your sin. You say, what do? Like a bulldog. You grab a hold of that and you say, I've got a sin in my life and I'm going to get that sin out of my life and I'm going to conquer that sin. And you get tough about it. It's called bulldog Christianity. And don't give in to it. Do what Buttons did. I think there's some of you need to sink your teeth into becoming soul winners. Telling others about Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, God's not willing that any should perish. No, don't be afraid to tell others about Jesus. Some of you need to sink your life into becoming separated in the Christian life. Not everything that the world does are Christians supposed to do. The Bible says that in Titus 2:12 that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And the way that you separate is you sink your teeth into it like a bulldog. There's some things that I learned when I was a younger Christian about how to live as a Christian. I sunk my teeth into those things. I've been at it for a while now. I hope I still believe the same way I believed 30 and 40 years ago. I didn't let the changing of the times tamper with my separation standards and the things that I believe. What do? You sink your teeth into it like a bulldog. You see, the problem that we have is that our tenacity is weakened. We're surrounded by weak people. You may or may not agree with everything that our president does, and I'm not here to promote or not promote his policies. I will tell you one thing. I think he has tenacity. I mean, let's face it. He put the shoe in his mouth, and they've not knocked it out yet. At least give him credit for that. Amen. You take hold and you don't let go. Let me help some of you. You say, I want to salvage my marriage. You say, what do? You grab a hold of the fact that you want to keep it together and you don't let go. Don't let the devil knock that out of your mouth. You say, I'm trying hard to raise my kids. You need to sink your teeth into the principles in God's Word about raising your kids. And you grab a hold of that. And you don't let anything take it away from you. I really believe that if you and I will do what we can, God will do the rest. But the Christianity of today is, I just hope God will do it all. Oh no. He did all the saving. Now He wants you to do your part. And once you do your part, God will help you.
But so many times we just want God to carry us and take care of everything and do it all. You say, I just wish I could pay my bills. If you want, you can stay home and pray that all day long, but God may want you to go out and see if you get a job. You say, what is that? Well, that is getting that tenacity and sinking yourself into it. You say, Brother Owens, right now at my house, there is so much laundry, I don't know how I could ever do it all. Well, take it in the backyard and burn it. Say, what do? You sink your teeth into that thing. Say, I'll get it. I'll overcome it. What's your problem? You know, I couldn't make it any simpler. Most everything that you face, if you really face something and it's a great challenge, you're going to have to dig in and say, I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to make it. I can take it. We can do this. I'm going to tell you a story and then I'm done. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, there's a story of a man by the name of Eleazar. He is one of David's mighty men, one of David's warriors. They were fighting the Philistines, and if you'll remember the Philistines, that's Goliath of the Philistines. Goliath was over 9 foot tall. Eleazar was one tough guy. He had been fighting viciously all day long using a sword. Now, you need to understand something. I'm not talking about a video game. I'm talking about a real sword. Hand-to-hand battle, where every person you come in contact with has the potential of stabbing you and killing you. And he had been fighting all day long, hand-to-hand combat with that sword. The Bible says at the end of the day, when he got done with this great battle, that he went to his tent and he wanted to lay his sword down on the table. But his hand had clung to that sword so strongly all day long. His muscles, he had a charley horse in his hand, and he couldn't get the sword out of his hand. His hand, the Bible says that his hand clave to the sword. He tried to get that sword out of his hand, but he had fought so hard all day long, he could not get the sword out of his hand. You know what that is? Eleazar had his sword in his hand like a bulldog puts a shoe in his hand. Let me explain something. I have in my hand the sword of the Word of God. And what we need in Christianity is an old-fashioned dose of people that grab a hold of their Bible, say, I'm not going to give this up. I'm going to live by this. I'm going to act this way. It's going to affect me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And I'm not going to let the devil knock it out of my hands. I'm not going to let my poor character knock it out of my hands. I'm not going to let the development of our generation knock it out of my hands. I'm not going to let my friends knock it out of my hands. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. And I'm going to hang on to this thing. Some of you used to respect the Bible. You used to come to church. You used to hear preaching. You used to read your Bible. You used to live godly. But somebody knocked it out of your hands. Pick your sword up. Put it in your hands and say, I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to start living for God again. I'm going to do what's right. And if you will, you can live for God. How many of you have a Bible out there? Hold it up. Don't let anybody knock that Bible out of your hands. Don't let anybody. Thank God for the old King James Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Listen, there's one thing God made easy. Not for Him, but for you. That's salvation. If you're not saved, salvation's a gift. Oh, I've talked about the tenacity of a Christian. But going to heaven, you don't work for that. Somebody else did. Jesus took the whole concept of heaven, and like a shoe, He grabbed hold and said, I'll carry you through the death. I'll carry you through the burial. I'll carry you through the resurrection. I'll pay salvation for you. You receive it as a gift. The other, that's for Christians. We are to live with tenacity. Salvation, that's a free gift available to you. If you die today and you're not sure you go to heaven, you can go to heaven by realizing you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And He said, if you'll cry out to me and ask me to forgive you of your sin and ask me to come into your heart and be your Savior, I'll save you and take you to heaven when you die. The tenacity that got salvation available was His tenacity. We take the free gift. The Christian life thereafter takes a little tenacity.
to hang in there in this present world to live right. If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. Here's what's going to happen. In a second, we're going to bow our head and close our eyes. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a thing called an invitation. Now, the service is not over. That means we're going to see if someone would like to trust Christ. Somebody might need the altar for a minute. You might need to come down here and get on your knees and say, you know what? I need to get a little bulldog about me. There's some things that I've got to get straightened out. I'm just going to have to grab a hold of it and take the challenge and get it fixed. But we're not just having a fun day at the church. The Word of God is what this church is all about. I'm glad you're here. Remember, if you're not saved, we'll give you a chance to come. We'll show you how to be born again. We have trained people with the Bible that know how to get someone saved. We'll help you to get saved. If you're a Christian and you need to pray for a moment, you'll be welcome to come. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know, but I don't know. Pray for me that I'd be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me that I would be saved? Good. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure. Good. Someone else, great. There's another, and another hand, and another hand. Fantastic. God bless you. I will pray for you. Those of you that raise your hand, in a second, when we give this altar call, if you'd be willing, if you'll step out, we're all going to stand in a second. You step out, come forward. There are going to be some people down here that could show you how to pray and ask Jesus to save you. Soul winners, you be ready to help me. And those of you that know how to win souls, you know who you are. We'll need some help if people come. Now, you may put those hands down. Let me ask you this. Are you a Christian? Would you say, Brother Owens, I really do. I need a little dose of bulldog in some areas of my life. There's some things I just need to grab hold of and get them straightened out for the cause of Jesus. And God has spoken to my heart this morning in this sermon. Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over the place already. God bless you. You may put those hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Please don't talk. Please don't play. If you need the altar, you come. If you want to get saved, if you say, I'd like to ask the Lord to save me, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Name takers, make sure you're ready to help me. If you say, I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian and you say, I really need to get some bulldog about me, come down here and pray for a second. Just tell the Lord, I need to sink my teeth into this thing and appropriately. I need to get tough for Jesus. And folks, you won't have to leave the auditorium. If we steal your seat, just find a place toward the side or off to the back. Stay and watch people get saved. Churches used to get people saved all the time. Churches used to get people born again. Churches used to have altar calls. And they did away with it because it was inconvenient. You come and you pray. If you need the altar, you come. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian and you just need to get tough with some of the things in your life, you know, some of you know why you don't come to church on Sunday? Because you won't get up in the morning. Won't you sink your teeth into that alarm clock on Sunday morning? Get yourself out of bed and get to church. If you need the altar, you come. Taken people that have been saved. It's not too late. If you need the altar, you ought to come. Ushers, you need to be ready for me in a moment. Did you listen to the verse that I gave you? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. One more time through the song, Rachel, just one more.
you're right on target for dismissal. We're only going to be here a few more minutes. Most of you do not overcome the weaknesses in your life because you quit too soon, you're too soft on yourself. You just got to get some bulldog about you. Say, I can't pass my classes. Get some bulldog about you. It's hard at work. Get some bulldog about you. I have challenges. You're just going to have to get some toughness about you. That's all there is to it. Thank you, folks.